Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I guess I'm on the air. It's a little low in the background. I can hear the intro music. If you hear a little background noise, that's because we are broadcasting live from Hot Springs, Arkansas, where it's a balmy 92 degrees outside. And I'm sure out on the water it's probably, what, heat index of 110, Neil? What do you think?
105, 103, 105, something like that maybe.
That voice, as many of you know, is my good buddy and traveling partner, Neil Paul from Visit Anderson. Been a good trip, been a good weekend so far. If you were following along on the FLW live feed anytime today, Brandon Cobb started out 17th, at a little over 8 pounds yesterday. And, you know, just wasn't doing anything this morning. Nothing all morning. He got down to like 26th place. And then around 11:30, bam, he jumps into it. They posted an update, and Brandon's actually in fourth place right now.
Yeah, very excited. He, you know, conversation throughout the week and didn't catch a lot of fish in practice. Noted that the fishing was extremely difficult this time. As some of you know, Brandon, know that his first Forestwood Cup was here at Lake Wachita in 2015, and he finished third. And so, obviously, just on that alone and the fact that he's made a top 10 each year that he's fished a cup, it makes him a favorite anytime he takes the boat off the trailer. But coming out this week, there's some changes to the lake. Since we were here last, I think we're minus some grass.
Yeah, I heard a lot of the short grass is gone.
And the heat, and it's August in the south, and the fishing conditions are tough. And to Brandon's credit, he's a guy that can catch fish in tough conditions. But, you know, when you have a championship of this caliber and opening day, you know, 13 pounds has you in the top two or three, and leading the event, that's it's anybody's ball game. And to Brandon's credit, he had to go out and catch fish today. And as of lunchtime today, he had the biggest bag of the day. And hopefully, if things go well, he'll have a chance to fish tomorrow.
Yeah.
To which I'll add this, and I was thinking about this coming down here to the table. I'd like to know the statistics on from FLW on an angler that has fished the cup. Not just made the cup as his first 4 years professionally, but fished in the top 10 in each of his first 4 years professionally. I'd like to know that stat.
It's probably a few, but I'm sure it's rare company, I would imagine.
And speaking of rare company, I know we're going to talk about this as the show goes on today, but this is the 20th anniversary of Davey Height from South Carolina winning the 1998 FLW Championship, the Forestwood Cup, and Davey followed it up in 99 with a Bassmaster Classic Championship, which Davey's one of, I think, just five or six people, David Fritz being one of them who's here up in the Expo, but somebody who's won the Cup and the Classic both in their careers. So, you know, Davey Height in rare company as well.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I know why I'm here, I think. Sometimes people say, all you do is go fun places and eat lots of food. And that's true. Some of these places are really fun. Some of them aren't. And you and I have talked about this a lot. Why are you here?
Well, you know, for us, for a community like Anderson and Anderson County particularly and Lake Hartwell, we have, you know, obviously, folks, we are, you know, we're well-known at home.
Right.
And we're well-known on the road as well, but we've been, you know, the lake's been named a top 100 bass lake in America now 4 years in a row. We just hosted the most successful Bassmaster Classic of all time in March. You know, the Corps of Engineers just released an article the beginning of July with numbers that anticipate an estimated number of 10.5 million people will utilize Lake Hartwell in some form or fashion this year, whether it's the Corps related campgrounds or the lake itself. And if you put 10 to equate or to put 10.5 million people in perspective, the most visited national parks in America draw 10.5 million people.
Yellowstone,
so,
that sort.
So when you talk about that and just trying to continue to build the brand of Lake Hartwell, there's, if you're going to do it from a fishing standpoint, there's three shows in the year that you cannot miss. One is the Bassmaster Classic and Bassmaster Classic Expo.
Yep.
One is ICAST in Florida,
right,
or where it's currently held. You know, and the other one's the Forest Wood Cup. So to have an opportunity to come out here and visit with folks in the industry and spend time with the folks from FLW and promote our fishery, our lake, and our community at home, that's how we get those 10.5 million numbers. That's how you build successful events and successful tournaments. And it's a great time.
It is a great time. It was funny. I was standing in your booth. You were off somewhere earlier today, and I was standing there, and a gentleman came by, and he picked up one of your brochures and was looking at it. I said, you ever been to Lake Hartwell? He said, nope. I said, well, you need to come. He took his brochure, he looked at it, he says, does seem like a pretty place. Y'all got hotels and all? I said, man, Anderson got tons of hotels. I said, they got tons of restaurants, tackle stores. I mean, yeah, come make a trip of it. So people do, when you're here, they do see Lake Hartwell, and it is interesting, especially if you're a bass fisherman from off somewhere and trying to fish different water and all. Lake Hart was a destination.
Talked to a lady yesterday from Illinois. She's down here with her father. They were unable to make the Classic in March due to some health issues. That's why they came here.
Okay.
They were at Hartwell in Anderson in 15 when we hosted the Classic.
Right.
And we talked about how cold it was. And had a lady stop in the booth just a while ago from Saluda, South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
She's out here with her husband. They follow these fishing championships.
Yep.
I've met a couple from Colorado that are here fishing. So if you don't think people travel with these organizations, they're loyal to, whether it's Bass or FLW, they're loyal to the circuit, they're loyal to the anglers. It's a following. It's essentially, it's like the folks that follow NASCAR. It's a very similar demographic and situation, but we try to take advantage of that and promote our fishery and our community to those folks, because we want them to come to Anderson and experience what we have.
And it's about relationships, too. I mean, we spent 4 hours the other night with John Mazurkiewicz, who does a lot of PR work with Shimano, which is a South Carolina-based company. Hung out with some media types last night. Probably do some media types tonight and all. And, of course, with Brandon here, I mean, you sponsor him, I sponsor him. So it's a natural force to be here and watch him fish.
Absolutely.
And we got another guy. We got Bradford Beavers here. He's from Somerville, South Carolina. Made it through the Coastas, I believe, didn't he?
He did. Came through the Coastas.
That's
exactly right.
And is here too. So there is some South Carolina presence here. Another one I got to mention is Chad Foster. Chad Foster, I met him in 2015 at ICAST. He was a boat captain for the first ICAST Cup that I did. And he made the cup this year through the Southern Coastas. And in fact, he's moved. I talked to him a few weeks ago at ICAST, and he has moved from Florida back to Minnesota. Said he's going to reactivate his teacher certificate, build a house, get settled in, and start fishing a little more later on. So, yeah, a couple connections here in the top 10 or 11, and we'll know here shortly in about 2 hours. Weigh-in starts at 5, and we'll have a good idea of who we're fishing on Championship Sunday. Hope I can get out there and take some more pictures of our guys.
Well, and just to quickly remind folks, it's, you know, 56 anglers are fishing here in the cup yesterday.
Today.
And they will cut to 10 for tomorrow. The 10 will go out on Championship Sunday. So it's, you know, there's a lot of work going into today and trying to get yourself in a position to fish tomorrow, or we'll have some guys working the expo with us.
You can win the Free Ranger this year.
I'm always up for another boat, but it's tough knowing that ship has probably sailed.
Neil won the Ranger in 14 in Columbia. So anyway, all right. Well, we got a break coming up here. Got a calendar events to come up, and a few news stories from around. And then we're gonna have a Geddes. Brandon's gonna call in last segment of the show. So hang on through the break. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
From dawn to midday to dusk, the sun's rays dance across the water and the sparkling light beckons. The abundant shorelines invite you to play or sail or simply behold. This is where champions fish and families gather to unwind. It's Lake Hartwell, and Anderson is the gateway to its wonders. Walk on a pier, float all day, and restore your soul in this beautiful oasis. Visit Anderson, South Carolina's bright spot. Discover more at visitanderson.com and visit lakehartwell.com.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. That's a great ad. It's a good ad, Neil. Visit Anderson is a sponsor of this radio show. You'll hear Neil on here a few times a year. We have a good time. We do this sort of thing, and his ad runs, and you always know his Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center sponsor the calendar event. Neil, before I get into my calendar of events, do you have anything in Anderson that's going on this coming up soon?
We're just coming up over the course of the fall, just in keeping with the outdoor theme. We're hosting the South Carolina Outdoor Press Association, the SCOPE Conference, coming up in Anderson, September 6th through the 9th. And then a couple weeks later, and please, it's a calendar of events, and
yes.
I'm missing a date here. But we're hosting the ABA, the American Bass Anglers Couples Championship, in September, and then October 24th through the 26th, American Bass Anglers ABA will be back in Anderson at Lake Hartwell for their AFT Championship, American Fishing Tour Championship. There will be in the neighborhood of 175 to 200 boats with two anglers in each boat competing on the lake for a lot of cash and prizes. So just got... from an outdoor standpoint, got the SCOPE Conference, ABA Couples, and then the AFT Championship coming up here in over the next couple months. Can't believe I told somebody this morning it's going to be the middle of August by the time we get home. So it's, you know, good stuff.
Yeah, for you. I talked to Taylor this morning. I said, two mornings and a wake up, and we are headed to Alaska. Wouldn't you know it? I mean, I hate the weather. I'm sorry. It's flip-flopped so many times over the last 2 weeks in Alaska, and then I started getting updates that there are flash flood watches and high water warnings for the Susitna Valley in Alaska, and now I get high wind warnings for the mountains up around Denali and Mount McKinley up through there. So playing the weather game, watching to see what's going to happen there. Nice thing about Alaska, and this is when you plan to go, and I don't know if I talked about this the first time we talked about this trip, but when you go to Alaska, you always need to watch the weather. And if you do an RV trip like we're doing, you have three routes laid out. You have a southern route, an eastern route, and a northern route. And based on the weather, you just play the weather and go where you want to go first, where the weather's going to be. Or like us, I mean, I think Denali National Park, the weather for it is going to be good, like partly cloudy Thursday and Friday. So I think I'm going to head north, because seeing Mount McKinley is one of those things you go to Alaska to, less than 30% of the people see it. So, Will, that's the travel update for this week. Weather, always a factor. Always a factor. Of course, up there, it's the other way. It's like lows in the 30s. There's a little snow predicted for a couple of days we're up there. So, Taylor wants to see snow. Maybe she'll get it. Maybe she won't. Going on with the calendar of events, if you got a boat and you want to help people with disabilities and special needs, then the Cruising for a Cause next Saturday, August 18th, from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. down on Lake Greenwood. They're going to have a five-stop poker run. One of the stops is Break on the Lake, Camp Fellowship Harris Landing, Lighthouse RV Park and Marina, Skipper's Marina Resort, ending at Camp Fellowship. You know, for a good cause. The Doobies Brothers, not the Doobie Brothers, will be there to perform. So to benefit people with disabilities and special needs served by Burton Center and the Lawrence County DSN Board. Something for you people with boats who just want to go hang out and drive around the lake for a day. Hey, coming up really soon. Well, actually, I saw some posts here from the Lowcountry this year. Already from today, they had their early youth hunts started today in game zones 3 and 4. which is really cool that we're getting these youth days up front this time around, something DNR has listened to us. So check DNR website. Coming up in the upstate, I think it's September the 8th, Game Zone 2 is the early youth day. It's limited to one deer, and it has to be antlered. But that's something for you to put on your calendar to get out there and get involved. Also coming up here in just a few short weeks, and I was really excited because I was over at the farm the other day, and my brown top millet's already brown. There were probably 40 birds in the millet, and my sunflower heads, most of them are probably as big as dessert plates or whatever, and they're starting to tip over a little bit. Turn darker, so those are going to be dropping some sunflower seeds. So those of you who are looking forward to dove season, open September the 1st. Of course, bear in mind September 1st through the 3rd. It is noon until sunset. A lot of people will stop shooting at 6 o'clock, let those late birds come in, feed. That just keeps those birds coming back. You give them a little rest, and they'll come back. They'll keep coming back, and that's the way you keep birds on your field. So, but then starting September 4th through October 13th, sun up half an hour before sunrise until sunset. And then you have a break from October 13th to November 10th. Then it picks up November 10th through the 24th and goes out on the 24th, comes back in on December the 15th and goes through January 15th. So that's coming up. They've already published all the DNR regulations. Hopefully we're going to do a DNR regulations show to kind of get you going on what's new as far as laws this year, dates you need to be aware of, and some other things that go along with getting outdoors in South Carolina, being legal, and having a good time. Being safe is first and foremost. One more thing on the calendar for this week, also from the Department of Natural Resources. A lot of people, you know, access is huge in deer hunting. It's not so much a problem with fishing, because you have, you know, Lake Hartwell you can go to. There's state parks. You can just go to the bank. Cork Hook and Worms and all, and you can fish. Captain Robert McCullough and I were talking about that last week. We had a meeting down at DNR, and we were talking about R3 and, the whole getting more people involved. He sees fishing as the way to do it because it's so easy, so simple. Doesn't cost a lot to get involved. There's lots of water out there. You can catch a lot of things and a lot of water in South Carolina. 46 of the 47 state parks have water adjacent or included. So, but for hunting, access is a big thing, and a lot of people don't have access to hunt clubs. They hunt, you know, the public land here in South Carolina, which there's a lot of it out there that's unused. Trust me, I have a lot of people who hunt that I know who hunt public land, and they go, yeah, maybe the first part of the season if you see a few people, but later on in the season, there's nobody out there. This is an opportunity for you to get in on some good hunts because these are the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources draw hunts. The application for the 2018 hunts are out there now through the Department of Natural Resources website. Deadline to apply for most of them is Friday, August the 17th. And that goes for the general hunts. Then you got the lottery hunt for Oak Lee and the lottery hunt for Manchester State Forest, which is a dog hunt. And all those are due by August 17th. So a couple of things for you to get out there and get involved in the outdoors. Hunting related, because this is my favorite time of the year.
It's hard to argue. I mean, it's, you know, the fall. Well, I mean, we're late summer. We're getting into the fall of the year, and you're going to start, you know, weather conditions are going to change, and it's always fun to get out and get in the woods and enjoy nature, and particularly South Carolina has, you know, beautiful places to go and experience all of nature.
Yep, they do. Pretty active expo going on here today.
Yeah, good turnout today. A lot of good space here. The facility's well laid out. It's well used. FLW did a great job laying out the expo, and I think the folks that, you know, and as we mentioned earlier, with the folks that we visited with yesterday, you know, from Illinois, Colorado, yeah, somebody from South Carolina. We've got good crowds here and a good variety of folks, and everybody seems to be having a good time.
The 2019 FLW Cup location is going to come out at weigh-in tonight.
Yes, they're going to announce the 2019 location here soon. We've been trying to strum up some conspiracy theories. I will tell you, it will not be Lake Hartwell. I can tell you that, but we're going to be looking forward to that announcement nonetheless, and looking forward to seeing what trip we'll be making in the middle of August next year. And
we have our thoughts. Do you want to share our thoughts on where it's going to be?
No.
No,
because I don't want to do that in fear that the wrong person would be listening, and it would cost me an opportunity to do this again with you. But I think that they'll be I think that Alabama is probably the state of Alabama in some form or fashion would be the leader in the clubhouse right now. I know their tourism folks are here, and you know the cup in 2014 was at Lake Murray,
right?
In South Carolina, 2015, it was here at Wachita. 2016,
Wheeler.
It went to Wheeler in North Alabama.
Yep.
17, it was at Murray.
Murray.
18,
we're here.
We're here, and so potentially 19, we could be back in the state of Alabama. So I don't know, but I'm sure those folks have worked really hard to put that together, and I'm sure whoever, you know, from a tourism director standpoint. Whoever's getting ready to be a part of that announcement here in a couple of hours has got to be very excited, personally, professionally, and for their community and lake back home.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I'd like to see it come to a certain lake in upstate.
I would too. I would too.
All right. Well, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. Let's see here now. Anything in the expo that's really jumped out at you? Because you've spent a whole lot more time in it than I have.
Yeah, you know, it's we in going to a place like the, you know, to like the Classic Expo, the Cup Expo, and ICAST, everything starts to get repetitive. I think one thing that you're seeing now is you know, once upon a time Ranger Boats was the only boat in town.
Sure. Yep.
As far as the FLW and the FLW Cup was concerned. But now, you know, in the expo here, we've got Nitro and Tracker Boats,
Triton
as well as Ranger, and that's the acquisition of Triton and Ranger by White River Marine Group, which is owned by Johnny Morris. You know, you're seeing a larger boat presence now. So that's been nice to see this week.
It has been. All right, well, there comes the music. Hang on through the break. We've got a couple stories in the outdoors, and then Geddes Brandon's going to call in at the towards top of the hour and talk about next week. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I wanted to give you a Dr. Grant Woods update real quick. Let's see. This would have been as of August 9th, which was Thursday. I had an email conversation with him. He's wanted to let him know Raleigh and I are doing great. Today is the 13th day since the transplant surgery. Raleigh is home shooting clients' pictures. She is a very good photographer, owns a business called shotsfromthewoods.com. And she'll return to the University of Arkansas soon. He said, I'm still close to the Mayo and doing great. I'm walking miles daily. The docs say walking is the best physical therapy for me during this stage of recovery. The post-transplant kidney function test results have been excellent. Literally the best I've had since 1983, which was his first kidney function test. The docs say Raleigh donated a Formula One kidney to me. He says he's going to hang around the Mayo Clinic for a few more days while the docs monitor the transplanted kidney's function and continue to adjust the medicine dosage to my body's metabolism. He said, I'm a very blessed guy. Enjoy creation, Grant. So very good news out of there. I told him I'd give him a few days to get in the house and get comfortable, and then we've got to work on a couple of CWD shows, chronic wasting disease. And in that vein or tone of thought, this is from the Department of Natural Resources, August the 8th, 2018. South Carolinians planning out-of-state trips to hunt big game this fall should be aware of restrictions on importing deer and elk parts into the Palmetto State. And this is because of chronic wasting disease. So I'd like you to remind hunters traveling out-of-state that certain parts of your animal cannot come back from, especially if you are traveling to states that have confirmed CWD cases in the United States. That includes Arkansas, where we are right now. Colorado, Kansas, Illinois, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New York, Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. CW has also been found in the Canadian provinces of Alberta and Saskatchewan. And it goes on to talk about what CWD is, and we're going to talk about that in a lot more depth here shortly. Therefore, in order to ensure that South Carolina's extremely valuable white-tailed deer resource remains protected, DNR continues to maintain regulations restricting the importation of certain carcass parts from deer and elk harvested in U.S. states and Canadian provinces where CWD has been documented. Deer hunting generates more than $200 million annually for South Carolina's economy, and white-tailed deer are the most sought game species in the state, in addition to being the official state game animal. It's critical that sportsmen and women who pursue big game in other parts of the country understand and comply with these restrictions to protect the South Carolina deer population. So, quarters or other portions of meat with no part of the spinal column or head attached. Okay, so this is what you can bring back with you to South Carolina. Quarters or other portions of meat with no part of the spinal column or head attached. Meat that has been boned out, hides with no heads attached, clean skulls or skull plates with antlers attached, and antlers detached from the skull plate. So, clean upper canine teeth of elk, also called buglers, whistlers, or ivories. Finished taxidermy heads. That's what you're not going to bring back the whole carcass. Or anything that's got spinal tissue involved with it, because that's where CWD resides in most animals that it kills. So, like I said, we're going to cover more about chronic wasting disease. To date, South Carolina has not documented any cases. I think right here in Arkansas was the last case that was detected, and it was detected last year, I believe. So, it's something that is terminal. If you have an animal infected with CWD, it will die, whether it's an elk, mule deer, white-tailed deer, other cervids, but that's where it attaches. Going on to some more news here right quick. Duke Energy funds the Jocassee Gorge's hemlock treatment along the Whitewater River August the 10th, which was yesterday. The largest remaining eastern hemlock trees in the South. You ever seen those hemlocks up along the rivers up through there?
Yes, I have.
Pretty cool trees.
Yes.
But they are real susceptible to deadly hemlock woolly ADLGID. Adelgid. Sounds like it. I don't know. This is the third time in 10 years that Duke Energy has funded treatment of the hemlocks along the Whitewater River in the Coon Branch Natural Area, which is part of the Jocassee Gorges. Without the treatments, most, if not all, of those hemlocks would have succumbed to the hemlock woolly, whatever, which has decimated eastern hemlocks across the southern Appalachians in the last 20 years. There's an Appalachian arborist in Asheville, North Carolina, completed the treatment. They also did the treatment in 2008 and 2011. Hemlocks were treated by soil injection with insecticides that are taken up by the tree's vascular systems, killing the adelgids. Without the treatment, hemlocks would likely die within 2 to 4 years. Duke Energy has spent a total of about $20,000 in the past decade to help keep the eastern hemlocks alive along the Coon Branch Natural Area Trail. You can get to that trail. It's a spur trail off the Foothills Trail. It's 77 miles between Oconee and Table Rock State Park. The Coon Branch Natural Area, accessed through Duke Power's Bad Creek Hydro Project, is owned by Duke Energy and is part of the Jocassee Gorge's land that Duke Energy voluntarily placed under conservation easement. The Harry Hampton Memorial Fund, which you've heard Jim Goller here many times before, facilitated management and disbursements of funds from Duke Energy for the hemlock. That's a beautiful area up through there, Neil. That's Pickens and Oconee, northern parts of those two counties. Land of mountains, diverse plant communities, waterfalls, and abundant wildlife. It is a place if you want to see probably the best leaf show in South Carolina here starting late September, early October. That's where you need to be.
Yes, that is correct. And it is a beautiful part of the state. And oftentimes you see pictures of those areas and you forget that it's South Carolina. And I don't mean that in a negative manner, but you look at it and you forget that that's your home state.
It's easy to do if all you do is drive the interstates.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get off. Speaking of getting off on the back roads now, you travel with me, so you know we're not going to be on the interstates forever. We took off through the middle of nowhere through northeast northeast Louisiana and Texas and down through there back a while, and this time was no different. We were I got tainted early. It took us 3 hours to get past Atlanta, and I was sick of traffic by the time I entered Atlanta. But we were driving along, and there was a crop duster.
Yeah, and it was fun. And I don't know that Enterprise would appreciate knowing that their rental car was chasing down a crop duster.
Oh, but, but the rental, the rental minivan.
Yeah. Shout out to Enterprise.
Wow.
But yeah, no, it was an opportunity. But it's like you say every week, take the back roads. And it was an opportunity to get off the interstate and saw a stretch of Highway 70.
Highway 70 east, west of Memphis, between Memphis and Little Rock.
And if you've never taken that drive, if you get out here, 70 essentially runs parallel to 40. But if you get off and take it, just beautiful farmland, diverse crop growth, beautiful farms, a lot of agriculture, and you will not be disappointed.
There's a four-letter word for what we saw between Memphis and Little Rock. Starts with an R and ends with an E. Rice.
Yes.
Remember all the rice fields. Goodness gracious. Riceland Rice. Several of the big, huge grain elevators along the way were Riceland facilities. And
that's
there was
correct.
A lot of rice.
Grain elevators.
Yep.
That's
a lot of exactly rice right. being grown down through. I think there were probably a lot of soybeans in there. Saw a lot of cotton early. A lot of cotton fields through there. But, yeah, you know, crop dusters, if you don't know what they are, not as near as prevalent in South Con as it used to be, although there's an operation in St. Matthews, South Con, down there last Friday. And, no, yeah, it was last Friday or Monday? Last Friday. I had to make a trip to Charleston and, of course, hopped on 176 down there. There's a crop duster. There's actually two of them. And with cotton coming in to harvest season, you know, they will be up dusting that cotton crop. But, you know, the cool thing about them is they fly with the wheels touching the crop a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's really neat to see those pilots are really, really good, too.
Oh, they really are.
They're dodging tree lines and power lines. In fact, one of the little runways that we saw had a high-tension transit line going off across the end of the runway. So I don't know whether in that one, whether you turn right or left or just go under it.
It was incredible nonetheless. And, I mean, this has been a great trip. I mean, how often do you get a chance to travel with your job and you get the opportunity to see the things that we see and to do the things that we do? And it's, you know, you're obviously very blessed to be able to do it, but it's an experience. And I'm, you know, maybe as I get older and maybe a little more mature about things, but taking the back roads and just getting off and enjoying, you know, what was once upon a time, that stretch of 70 that we saw coming out here was obviously once upon a time a very happening place.
The main drag.
And to see now, I mean, there's so many parts of our country that, you know, that the interstates and the big roads and the highways and things have kind of cut it out for those small communities, but still just beautiful nonetheless.
Yeah, and it was interesting because we got off chasing the crop duster and started looking at Google Maps and saw that it just parallel 40. I'm like, why do we want to go up there and deal with all the trucks when we can come down here and deal with a few cars and really have a cool drive? So it's neat. Is you going to take that going back or are you going
to? To be determined. But I will tell you this. My wife has been interested in getting the updates from this trip, and she was rather amused yesterday when I told her that there was actually a place called Flippin' Arkansas. So that's been a new one that we've learned on this trip.
All right, hang on. Back with the last segment of Woods and Water South Carolina after the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's the last segment of the show for today. Hope you enjoyed spending a little time with us here from Hot Springs, Arkansas. Brandon's fallen to sixth, but I still think he's well within shooting distance of
Brandon Cobb's fallen to sixth.
What did I say? Geddes
is on the phone.
Oh, gosh. Geddes, are you there?
I am here. I'm listening to Batman and Robin, the show, right now.
Yeah, well, I guess you heard part where the Batmobile got transformed into a minivan.
Oh, I can believe it. Just like that jet you were going to ride under the glass and turned into one of those crop dusters you were just talking about.
Okay, that was not a crop duster. That was a 1945 Stearman. Totally different ballgame.
A couple minutes late, but next time, I think you should do his Elite Series stop at Lake Hartwell if Neil will pull a couple strings. Thanks.
I have already talked to Dave Mercer about that very thing, and he is all for it, so I've just got to line up the pilot, and we'll try to get you another flyby. And this time will be either early or on time.
We'll have to get them off the ground on Wednesday to make sure they get there on time, Geddes.
Well, as Mercer says, I know you will.
Well, look, Geddes, I appreciate you calling in because I'm actually I'm not near as nervous about this as I probably would have been a year or so ago, but I'm going to turn the reins of this show over to you next Saturday.
That's right. We're going to have some interesting things going on, but first let's talk about Brandon Powell. Let's talk about Lake Wachita, if we can. I followed a little bit of it today.
Okay.
And I heard Larry Nixon on live, and then I saw where Brandon had with a large bash today, and then it looked like a guy named Wes Logan just took that title over from him.
Blew it up.
As you said, he's Brandon's in contention, and that's always a good thing for South Carolina, Greenfish, and some county guy. And, you know, I fished with Brandon in the 2015 Cup at Lake Wachita, and one thing I've heard from Larry Nixon and these guys that have been on FLW Live, they're talking about the draft not being exactly right. Have you heard anything about that and what it might be playing for?
You kind of faded out. You faded out just for a second. What are you asking about? What on the lake?
The grass. The growth of the grass right now. It's not as much.
Yeah. Since the last Cup here, Geddes, in 2015, we've talked to several locals and some folks here close to the scene that have said they had a grass kill.
Yeah.
That it was and it was done with the pleasure boater in mind, and so a significant amount of the grass has been taken out of the lake, which has definitely affected the fishing this week.
Yeah. The shallow grass. My media driver yesterday was Don. I can't remember his last name. I mean, he's lived in right here in Hot Springs or near Hot Springs. Malvern, I think, is where he lives now. His entire life, and it's like it's not his home lake, but he fishes that lake a lot. And he said, yeah, a lot of that shore grass is gone. He said, but there's still a lot of deep grass growing up 5 to 6 feet off the bottom. And he said, some of those guys might find it. I've seen a few of them do it, just going out in Texas rigging an old monster or something and just hopping it, you know, pulling it up 6, 7, 8 feet and letting it fall back. He said, because there are holes in that tall grass, and that's where those bass are going to hang out. So, yeah. The shallow grass is not near as prevalent. I mean, that was where Brandon really, really shined in 15 was the grass that was – the water was down, the grass was taller around that standing timber he was in, and he said that's just not going to play this year.
Well, where Brandon really excels, no matter where the tournament is, it's not a slugfest. And I don't mean that in a bad way in any way.
Sure.
Possible. But he excels in tough tournaments, and that's when the Forestville Cup is scheduled for August.
Right.
Every year you can just about bet that those fish are going to be feeding late at night and real early in the morning, and that time of the day they're just not out there eating.
And it was what talking about Brandon yesterday morning. The fog on the main lake, the fog wasn't bad. But he was way, way, way back in the back of the North Fork. And it took us probably 15 minutes to get back there because the fog came down. You couldn't see more than about 30, 40 yards at times. And you couldn't see the side of the river that was that close at times. And you know when I found him? You know what I knew I found? We idled into the back of this. It's called Wachita Lake. And we idled into it because it was about 3 feet deep. Cut the motor, and I heard, zzzz. You know what that sound was?
Buzzbait.
That's exactly right.
It was probably the Brandon Cobb Signature Series Buzzbait. That's probably exactly what it was.
From Greenfish Tackle.
That's exactly right, till the blade falls off of it. And it looked like he might have got a good one on it today. It looked like a buzzbait fish because I could see the background where he was fishing.
Yeah.
And it looked like he's probably throwing a horny toad and a buzzbait and catching pretty good. But yeah, man, so you're going to where next week? Alaska, right?
I am headed to Alaska, yes.
And you're handing it over to me.
And you're headed to Greenville. Neil, is that a wise
decision?
Is that where
I'm supposed to be?
Yes, Gaddis.
Is that where I'm supposed to be? No, we're going to have a really good time, guys. We're really excited about it. I'll have on a couple of really good friends of mine. James Overstreet, as many of you know, with Bassmaster. He's been with Bassmaster since the 2006, started the Elite Series, and he's a legendary outdoor photographer. Proud to call him a friend, and he's a great storyteller, and I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to talk about. And we're also going to have a very special guest on the show, Mark Zona with Zona's Outdoor Fishing Show, who also hosts the Bassmaster TV show and Bassmaster Live. So next week is going to be a little bit of a flip towards the Bassmaster flavor, but as y'all know, with Woods and Waters after a while, we don't play many favors. We go to the Cup 1 week, and Roger might be at the Classic the next.
That's exactly right. Well, I'm sure I will not be listening to the whole show. I hope to be out catching some Chena River grayling about the time you come on the air. But I am going to try to call in and just say hello to everybody and let everybody know how Alaska's going. But, man, I really appreciate you coming on and taking over the show. We've had a good time through the years. And like I said, a year or so ago, I probably would have been a little nervous about this. I think just like my daughter getting engaged to the right guy the other day, it's you're the right man to take over while I'm gone.
And Gaddis, just to add something here, you talk about your friends and things like that. So we started this show talking about another friend of yours and friend of the show and certainly somebody I've looked up to over time, but Davey Height. This is this particular cup is the 20th anniversary of Davey's FLW championship, and as many folks may know, that Davey is one of just a small handful of people that have won both the Bassmaster Classic and the FLW Championship in their career.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure he's thinking about that today. At that time, that was the largest payday ever in professional fishing. And he's on Lake Tupelo this weekend having a good time with his oldest son stationed over there. But hey, you never know what could happen on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
No, sir.
There might be some Davey Height. I don't know. We'll have to see, but Davey's always willing to come on, and he's a good friend of the show,
yes,
as well. And I'm sure there's going to be some interesting conversation, especially between the Z Train and James Overstreet.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. I'm glad I get to listen to the podcast.
that was definitely going to be fun. Yes, sir.
Yep. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes to call in and tell us what's going on next Saturday. And I hope everybody we're going to spread the word here. I hope everybody spread the word there and have a big turnout for you.
Well, Roger, you know, I think that there could be a lot of different industry news coming out this week, and it could really be an interesting week. That's all I'm going to say. And it's going to be a fun test.
Well, the rumor mill just keeps stirring, doesn't it?
I'll be driving home alone Monday. I'll be driving
home. I check my locks, make sure Johnny Moore sit by my house.
Hey, and I'll be driving home Monday alone, so I'll give you a call.
Sounds good, Neil.
All right, Gaddis, I'll look forward to handing it over to you next Saturday. Appreciate it. You have a good week, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Thank y'all.
Yep, see ya. Oh, boy, yes. More news. I mean, Vexus Boats was here. They unveiled a new boat this morning.
This morning, 8 o'clock.
There are some rumors that the legend behind Triton Boats, Earl Bentz, is going to have another boat company out there. There is a rumor out there about do we say that? I can talk about rumors, can I?
Sure.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
There is a rumor out there, folks, that there is going to be a third professional bass tournament series. As many of you know, and I don't know that a lot of people, there are people out there, Major League Fishing is out there already. And there's some rumors swirling around Major League Fishing and the FLW and the bass tournament series. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this one. It's always something out there. Whether you believe it or not is up to you.
As the world turns.
the fishing
world
edition. Turns, yes. Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed listening today. I appreciate Neil coming in. You know, I had a story here about a rabid beaver that I probably won't get to. We'll hang on to that. Travel food friends, tough Lake Washita. Oh man, my fall has already been made. We had a chance to go over to the farm, check my dove field, like I was saying, and everything is looking great for September the 1st. Sitting there, sun was coming up, and I just sit down on the deck, just watching the world wake up and the birds and all, and I hear this distinct sound to my right, and it was a bobwhite quail whistling, and it was not one anywhere near where my neighbor runs his bird dogs, and I've heard these birds before, so there was one there, which just made my day. As he was whistling, I had another bobwhite whistle 180 degrees away from him. A third one joined the conversation in a third spot, and I had a fourth one a good ways away. I could hear him. So, look, you know, I talk about conservation. I talk about hunting. I talk about my roots in bird hunting and all. It's a lot of work to keep habitat, to make sure they've got the food they need. And to hear those four birds whistling last weekend just sent chills up my spine. And it's the reason I keep doing what I do. It's the reason I keep going over there and playing in the dirt and spending money on seed, although I'll probably never hunt another bobwhite on my property. Just to have those birds back means that what I'm doing is worth it all. And I hope what you're doing on your land or whatever, whether it's deer hunting or small game hunting or your pond and fishing or whatever opportunities you have to get outside, I hope it's just as rewarding. Neil, thanks for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's always a great time. A lot of fun.
Yeah, the price Neil had for me coming out here is I get to fly home Monday. Get to see my daughter go back to school, and then I pack up for Alaska. So.
And I get to drive home. It'll be a fun ride, but won't chase any planes, but we'll have a lot of fun along the way, I'm sure.
That's it. Well, thanks, as always. Make time to get out there, take the back roads, and don't forget the camera. Back next week, Geddes Brandon, Woods and Water, South Carolina.
In my mind.